explore this morning the ancient scriptures that we stand for, right? So the Gospel of Matthew, it says this, so to stir this in our hearts. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translates means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And there it is. Father, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we've left our homes to come to this house. We come with purpose, Lord. We come to worship you in spirit and truth. We come as disciples to learn. We pray for your Spirit to fall upon us. May you reveal the things that's been freely given to us in the ancient scriptures. Lord, we ask, God, that you would just speak into our hearts today, that you would strengthen us and encourage us, enlighten us, illuminate our journey. We ask, God, that you would do this for the glory of the kingdom of Jesus. And Lord, we pray for the individual behind the pulpit today. We ask, Lord, that you would help this person speak clearly and without error. Again, for the kingdom of Messiah, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name, and all those who love Jesus would say, Amen. And y'all may be seated, and good morning. So, let's start this off like this. Imagine a young man comes up to you, maybe this young man's in his late teens, early 20s, and he asks, what would be some advice that you would give this individual of things that he should be looking for in a future spouse? What would you say? Okay, faith, right? Like, I want you just to... Honesty, faithfulness, integrity, truthfulness. Maybe you're here today and you are married. What was on your list? Did you have a list? Or maybe you're here today and you're not married, but someday you might consider the idea. Do you have a list? Okay, so that list. So I'm talking about a list. I think most people, so for me, I had a list, and actually my lady had a list, Cindy had a list. I was in my early 20s. I'm like, hey, someday I might get married. Well, what would this person look like? It's kind of like that conceptual thing, like, well, what would they look like, and what would you want that person to be, and the character qualities and things like of that nature. You guys, this is normal. Amen. Is this normal? How many people actually had a list? I'm just curious. Did you guys have one? How many people didn't? You just kind of went for it. Yeah, you liars. 2,000 years ago, there was a young man in his late teens, early 20s. He's from a very small town in Nazareth, and he was going through this exercise. He was a carpenter. He was wanting one day to get married and to have kids. And in the journey of going through this process, he meets a young lady named Mary. They get engaged through the customs of the day in which that happened in Judaism 2,000 years ago. And everything was fine. They're looking forward to this wedding day, and everything's cool. Until Mary went on a trip to Judea and came back to Nazareth 3 months pregnant. Is that a problem? Anyone? How did Joseph find out? Within the pages of Scripture, there are real human beings that really exist. They were real. How do we enter into their world and enter into their journey of trying to meet, know, and follow Jesus? So many movies try to make the people of the Bible bigger than they are. There's this tendency to take somebody and make them bigger than they are. Recently, there's this movie out called Mary. Has anyone seen it on Netflix? They make Mary out to be some kind of priestess in the temple in Jerusalem. Bad. Not true. There's a tendency to make these characters bigger than the Scripture says they are. And it's really a battle to try to meet the historical people. You guys, there's a historical Jesus. Have you met him? He's a divine personality. He's Christ. He's real. The battle is to meet Christ. Someday when you die, you know who you're going to meet? Jesus. Not some mythical, a real divine being who really is here. The one who was and who is to come. The journey in our lives is to meet Christ. As we travel through Scripture, there's so many challenges in trying to meet the people of the Bible to have them encourage us. So Cindy and I sat down, we were watching Mary, and we were halfway through it, and we're like, So Mary's told, you know, Joseph's a good guy, you should marry him. And she's like, I don't know if I want to marry him. And her mother's the one that tells her that Elizabeth's pregnant with a child. The angel told her. This is the danger when you watch a movie. So if Pastor Frank was to recommend one, The Nativity's awesome. Has anyone ever seen The Nativity? And I have a picture of it. You guys, if you want to find a movie that's actually does a pretty good job of entering you into the story of Christmas, into the story of Mary, into the story of Joseph, who were they really? This one does a pretty good job. It's culturally pretty accurate. It's pretty true to the storyline of as much as we can have in Matthew and Luke. If there's one that you wanted to see, that would be the one. It's called The Nativity. Did I shoot that picture up? Do you guys see a picture? Was there a picture up there? No? Okay, well, that's cool. Well, it was there. I had it. Ah, that's the one. Okay, everybody say, okay, I'll see that one. Okay, this is a good one. So in the movie, so here we go, guys. Here's Mary. Here's Joseph. They're just normal people. These are people from a small town, about 200, 300 people, Nazareth in the day. These are two young kids, and they're engaged. They're betrothed, okay, which is a really interesting concept. So all of a sudden, Joseph finds out that Mary's pregnant. Well, can we all agree that that would throw a wrench in the planning wedding experience? Yes? 3 months pregnant. How did he find out? Scripture doesn't say. In the movie, The Nativity is kind of cool. Mary comes back from Judea. She's in a cart. That makes sense. She gets off the cart and she kind of grabs her tummy. By the way, somebody runs at Joseph, says, Joseph, Mary's back. Yes, I haven't seen her in 3 months. In the movie, he sees her like, whoa, what's that? Possibility. How did she tell him? Did he find out by shock, or did she say, can we talk? And she begins to explain it to him. How did Joseph know? We don't know. How did he find out? But it just kind of happens, right? So Joseph, I'm 3 months pregnant. but I'm still a virgin, and the baby inside of me is conceived by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph's response is, what would yours be? What was his emotions? What was his feelings? You guys, there's a real Joseph that really existed, that really went through this in time. And it's pretty wild when you think about it. Okay, guys, if it was me, I'd be listening to this going, you're nuts. Wouldn't you? I could see, do you ever talk to yourself? Do you ever like go to bed and lay in bed and talk to yourself and try to rehearse through the day? Sometimes when you need expert advice, probably the best person to talk to is you, right? Do you ever lay in bed at night? I could see Joseph that night laying in bed going, did I miss something? I mean, Mary was everything. I'm looking through the list, and in the midst of the list, could you see Joseph just going, man, did I miss something? What am I going to do about this? What's his options? Okay, option A is I marry her, and everybody thinks that it's my kid, and they think that I'm the person that did this. My integrity is brought into question. I could do that. What's his options? Or I can't do this. It's not my kid. I'm not parenting this kid. It's not mine. What's his options? What was his emotions? What was his thoughts? What was his feelings? What was he going through? So we read in the scriptures, you guys. He doesn't buy it. He doesn't buy what Mary said. Would you? No. What do you do? I marry her or I don't. What did he come up with? I'm not marrying you. It's not my kid. I thought you were one way. Clearly you're something else. Do I publicly disgrace you, in which in the law of Moses you could even be stoned as an adulterer? Or do I put you away quietly? And his option is? Second one, right? Do you guys want to... Who is Joseph? What does that tell you about him? He still loves her. And what does it tell you about his character? My integrity is so important to me, I cannot do this. But I don't want any harm to come to you. He's struggling with this. If you want to meet the historical Joseph, can you take notes of me this morning? Here is who Joseph is. Just from the scriptures, we could squeeze this out, right? Joseph is a godly man of compassion who values his integrity. This is Joseph of Nazareth. He's a godly man of compassion who values his integrity. He doesn't want vengeance. He doesn't want to... Whatever he's going through, he doesn't want to hurt her. That's who Joseph is. He's a pretty cool guy. Let's just quietly separate. That tells us a lot about who he is. So this is the plan. And then what's next? What happens? This is the plan. It's a good plan. Tells you a lot about who Joseph of Nazareth is, the carpenter. And then God comes to help handle the scandal, right? So then what? So Joseph goes to sleep. And an angel comes and speaks to him in Matthew chapter 1. And this is so cool, guys. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. So it says this. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David. Joseph, son of David, why are you bringing up my ancestry, angel? Because it's really important what's happening. See, you are an ancestor of King David, and the Messiah is prophesied to come through the line of King David. Both you and Mary are of this line. So Joseph, son of David, indicating that there's bigger things at play here. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he'll save his people from their sins. Wait, I'm going to call his name Jesus, Yeshua, Yeshua. It means God is salvation in the Hebrew. Or Yeshua saves. Yahweh saves. So Jesus' name as he grows up is God saves. Imagine that. That's his name. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Joseph is given the mission of the child, the name of the child, and it's all linked together. It's being explained, right? All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. So then in the dream, the angel is giving him a Bible study, which I think is so cool, right? This is a great dream. You guys had any dreams lately? Has any angel showed up in your dreams explaining theology to you? This is good stuff. All this took place of what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. That's so cool. Since the child, right, is from the Spirit of God, he's to be called the Son of God, or Emmanuel. So here's this cool Bible study. So Joseph awakes, right? He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, took Mary home to be his wife, but didn't consummate their marriage till after she gave birth to a son, and he does exactly what he's supposed to do. Okay, Joseph, so wait a minute. So what about all the people? If you do this, what about what people say about you? What about the scandal? What about the fear of what people think about you and say about you? Do you care what people think about you? Do you care what people say about you? Don't we all? Do you care what people think about you? Do you know if Joseph says yes to this, everybody's going to look at him, and he doesn't care. He pushes past his fears. Do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. You guys, here's the truth this morning. Here's the truth this morning. Do you know the most common phrase in the Bible is the word fear not, or do not be afraid. It's written over about 365 times. There is a do not be afraid or fear not in the Bible for every day of your life. It's the most common phrase in the scripture, do not be afraid. There's a verse in the Bible for every day of your life, do not be afraid or fear not. Tomorrow, there's a verse for you, fear not. Tuesday, do not be afraid. Here's the deal. Whenever God calls any of us to follow him, there's always an amount of fear. Do I do it? Do I not? Mary, do you say yes? Do you say no? Joseph, do you say yes? Do you say no? If you do this, there's consequences. It's inconvenient. There's a beautiful verse in the Bible. I've been sharing this verse, and I'm praying that this verse would be your verse for the month of December. This verse is a verse that I found in scriptures young in my faith. It's one that I stir into my life all the time. I lay my hand over my left shoulder and I say, Frankie, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound thinking. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given you a spirit to run from the battle. The word fear means run from the battle. If you're running from the battles that God calls you to face, it's not from the Spirit of God. That's just you being afraid. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that dwells in you does not tell you to run from the battle. The Spirit of God that dwells in you is not a spirit of fear, but of power, balanced with love. And the Spirit of God upon you that gives you power, that gives you love, gives you the ability of sound thinking. 2 Timothy 1:7. Have you memorized this verse yet? You want to say it? Here we go at the count of three. One, two, three. God has not given you a spirit of fear. It's not from Him. It's not from Him. You can reverence God. Absolutely fear the Lord in reverence. But God has not given you a spirit of fear to run from the battle. The Spirit of the Lord that dwells inside of you, born again, born anew, born from above, is a spirit of power and a spirit of love. The Holy Spirit that dwells in you gives you ability of clarity of thought and wisdom. We walk by faith over fear. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Joseph is a man who walks by faith over fear. He's a good man. He's a godly man. As soon as he finds out that God's in this, I'm in. I don't care about my fears. I'm in. I'm marrying her. I'll take the hits. People can say what they want to about me. They will forever question my character and my integrity. I don't care. If you tell me to do this, Lord, I'm in. This is who He is. He's a good man. He's a good man. Take this note down. Note number two. Joseph is a man of obedience and faith in God. Once he knows that God's in this, I'm in. He takes Mary to be his wife. He absorbs the looks and the people and the gossip. He's willing to take the hits of speculation, the hits of scandal. And you guys, this is in a small town. When I grew up in a small town, okay, up in Big Bear. I'm a kid from a hick small town in Big Bear. Everybody knows everything about your business in a small town. Mary and Joseph, everybody knew everything. This is the talk of the town, and he marries her. He's a good man. He's a good man. He's a godly man. And everything's fine. I'll take the hits. And then here's the beauty. In the midst of all this, God sends something to help these two handle the scandal. Okay? And this is what it was. The problem is the prophecy is that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem and Joseph and Mary are from Nazareth. So what does God do? He has the emperor of Rome, who's just solidified his power, put out a census throughout the Roman Empire so he can know how many people are in his Roman Empire. And by doing this, every man must go to his ancestral home, which means David needs to go to Bethlehem, and that means Mary's going with him. And these two now are leaving Nazareth with the scandal and the looks and all this, and they travel to Bethlehem. And in the nativity, if you see it, they do a pretty good job with it. Because as Mary and Joseph are leaving, everybody's giving them this look. There they go. And Joseph looks over at Mary and says, looks like they're going to be missing us. It's beautiful, man. It's good. It's good stuff. It's good. So here's Luke 2, 4 through 7. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee in Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him. And was expecting a child. Scandal. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Did Joseph deliver the baby? Maybe. Possibly. Probably. Who else did? Who was there? There was no room for them. They hung out with the animals. You guys, you want to know who? If Joseph delivered Jesus, he was the most unlikely midwife in all of Judea. And the chances are he did. What does that tell you about Joseph? So I got to see all three of my boys come into the world. And I was thanking the Lord for nurses and doctors, and I was on the side going, go, babe, you're amazing, right? I got to snip the cord. The last thing I wanted to do was deliver any of my kids. I don't know about, dude, any guys that saw this or been around that? Joseph was there. What does that tell you about this guy? Who is this guy? Who is the historical Joseph of Nazareth? Dude, he's a man that of integrity and character. He's a godly man. He's a man of faith. You know what? Man, Joseph's a man of action. If you're going to take notes of this guy, Joseph's a man of action. This is the kind of guy that gets it done. This guy is courageous and strong. Man, baby's coming. All right, bring it. Whoa, you're amazing, dude. This is an amazing man. Joseph is an incredible human being in the pages of the Bible. This is a guy that doesn't run from the battle. He has sound thinking, love, power, courage, Spirit of God. This is an amazing man in the pages of the Bible. This is the kind of guy that gets it done. If there is something going on and you need somebody there that's faithful and willing to hit it, this is the guy you want. He's a man of action. In a crisis, you want a guy named Joseph of Nazareth. Do I hear an amen? Come on, guys, meet him in the Bible. This is a good dude. So here he is giving birth to the virgin, giving birth to a baby, Holy Spirit, baby comes out, he's holding this kid. What was going through Joseph's mind? Do I call him junior or father? Do I call him my stepson or God? I bet he's so blown away holding this baby. Just as Mary was, right? As she's looking at him, is she wondering, do I give him milk or do I give him praise? You give him both because he's hungry and holy. This was incredible. This is Christmas. The first Christmas. Try to enter in. Mary and Joseph. To meet the historical Mary and the historical Joseph, they're incredible people. These two had a front row seat of the most amazing event of God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And they know the mission. It's interesting. When Mary and Joseph compare notes, Mary gets a vision, by the way. No, Mary gets actually a visitation. Joseph gets a dream. Why? God's God. Mary's this young girl. She's getting, hey, Gabriel shows up. Holy Spirit's coming on you. You're bringing the Messiah, and he will be a great ruler and a great king and will rule and reign on the earth. Wow, I'm in. Joseph, dream. Joseph, take her to be your wife. For the Holy Spirit, the baby, you got it. Bible study. His name will be called Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. Okay. Mary, you won't believe it. I believe you. Angel shows up. Let's get married, babe, now. Let's do it. Woo! Thank you, Lord. How was I going to tell him? You told him, thank you, Jesus. I'm sure that's answered prayer. So do you know that he's supposed to save his people from their sins? What? Wait, no. He's supposed to rule and reign. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Well, what I was told is that he's the one who saves his people from their sins. His name's Yeshua. God is salvation. Well, I was told that he's supposed to rule and reign on the earth. Well, how's he going to save his people from their sins? Let's just follow the Lord and figure it out. Are you sure? I'm sure. Did he really say that? Are you sure he didn't say anything about being a king that rules on the earth? No, man. He saves his people from their sins. Well, I was told he's a great king. Which one is he? He's both. The lion and the lamb. Joseph's amazing. Their journey of Mary and Joseph and all this, you guys, you just got to enter in and go, this is so cool. Do you want to meet Joseph? I want to introduce you to Joseph. I want you to Let's put skin on this guy. This is who he is. He's a good man. He's a man of action. And there's more we can learn from him, from the scriptures. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, something crazy happens. They're in Bethlehem and all is cool. Baby. And then, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Joseph gets dreams. Mary gets visions, visitations. God is just sovereign and does what he does. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So Joseph said, I'll go tomorrow morning after I get my cup of coffee. Okay, that's cool. Let me finish my night's rest and I'll wake up tomorrow and hit Starbucks and we'll head out. So he got up and took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. What does that tell you about Joseph? He stayed there until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my child. Man, Joseph is the kind of guy that doesn't procrastinate. When the Lord tells him, do something, I'm on it. This guy is amazing. He wakes up from the dream, gets his family up, and is out that night. He is quick to obey God. You know what? Joseph takes his role seriously. He takes his role seriously as a husband and a father. And you know what he does? He protects his family. Here's a note for you. Take this note down. Joseph is a man who takes his job of protecting his family seriously. He sees this. He takes this job and this role really seriously. Hey, parents, do you take your job of providing and protecting for your kids seriously? Man, I was just talking recently with a man in our church who has kids, and he's like, Pastor Frank, it is so scary raising our kids in this society. It scares my wife and I big time. I'm like, I understand. To try to be not reactive, but proactive, and to try to get a handle on what's happening in our culture and our society. How do I raise my kids in the ways of the Lord in the midst of all of this? I get it. You know what? Who gets it? Joseph gets it. Joseph, you could sit down with this guy and say, amen to that. It is such a big responsibility to take care and protect your family. Man, when I am called to take care of the Son of God, I'm doing it big time. This is my kid. This little baby is totally defenseless. And I'm supposed to protect this one? Okay. He takes it seriously. Joseph is a cool dude. Joseph is the kind of guy that he has his fears. He presses his fears down and he moves in faith. He's a good man. He's a good man. For God hasn't given Joseph a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and clarity of thought. The Lord has not given you a spirit of fear. What God calls you to do, He gives you the power to do it. To walk in the Spirit of God. Joseph is an interesting man, and there's not a lot about him. What do we know about him? Anything else? We know that. He was the first one to see him. That's a good point. You know what? Matthew 1 and 2, Joseph. After the Gospel of John, second chapter, Jesus goes to the temple at the age of 12 for his bar mitzvah. Joseph and Mary are there. And after that, Joseph's gone. Sometime between the ages of Jesus being born to 12, Joseph is a part of every aspect of Jesus' life, raising this young man. And by the way, what do we know about him, right? After between 12 and 30, Joseph's dead. He dies. How did he die? We have no idea. Jesus saw his stepdad die. Mary's husband died. How did that happen? We don't know. Cancer? Did he fall off some scaffolding, building? Joseph was this amazing man who got up every morning and provided for his family. Joseph woke up every morning. By the way, Joseph saw, you know, I've always liked the name Jude. Well, he had a kid named Jude. It's his kid wrote one of the books of your, in the Bible. Joseph could say, man, I've always wanted a kid named James, or actually it's Jacob. Well, he did. Because that's also James, the book of James, or Jacob. This was Joseph's son that wrote this, the brother of Jesus. What do we know about Joseph? You know who Joseph is? I look at this guy, in the mundane of everything, he just was there. Every day he woke up saying, I get to serve God today by going to work and providing for little baby Jesus. Well, wait, now he's two. He just learned to walk. Did he teach him? He feeds him every day. He provides for this kid. He watches over this kid. Takes care of this kid. Joseph is just this amazing man. He's awesome. He's a good guy. He's the unsung hero, I think. So, okay, so here you go. So you're meeting him. Hey, that's cool. What do you think Joseph would tell you today? If we could introduce, if Joseph was here, what would he say to you today? Here's some encouragement. Write this one down. Joseph would tell you that when God asks you to do something, deal with your fears and say yes. Write that down. Joseph would, he would encourage you today. When God asks you to do something, deal with your fears and say yes. Okay, Joseph, so you're going to put away Mary quietly. Angel shows up, says, don't do this. What's actually in her is the Messiah. It's the virgin birth. It's amazing. And Joseph says, nah, this is really inconvenient for me. What? I don't want to do this. The path of least resistance is say, could you find somebody else? Joseph doesn't do this. Joseph thinks it through. God's asking me to do something. Do you think Joseph was ever afraid with the assignment that God's asking him to do? Would you be? I would be. This is mind-blowing. He says yes. If Joseph was to be here with you today, whatever it is that God's asking you to do, he would encourage you to don't say no. Don't say no. Follow the Lord. Every day God calls you to follow him. Every day Jesus calls you to follow him. Pick up your cross and follow me daily. To wake up every morning and say, God, help me be the person that you need me to be today. Help me to do the things that you want me to do today. Help me to represent you well today. For I am the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I'm an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my calling. Lord, help me today to be who you've called me to be and to do what you've asked me to do. Lord, help me. This would be Joseph. Don't say no. Engage. Enter in. Make it happen. And Joseph would say this. Ready? Whatever God's asking you to do, he's going to give you the power to do it. Note number 6. When God asks you to do something, he will give us his spirit to do it. If God is not going to ever ask you to do something and not give you the power to do it. For the Spirit of the Lord dwells within you. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound thinking. Whatever God asks you to do, he will give you the power to do it. And Joseph could say amen to this. Mary could say amen to this. All that they were called to do was in the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph would tell you this morning, don't say no to God, and whatever God's calling you to do, he will give you the power to do it. And here you go. I think this one's pretty cool. No matter what Hollywood wants you to believe, Joseph would want you to know that God chooses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And that's a good note. You should write that down. Joseph would want you to know, I'm just Joseph of Nazareth. I'm just an ordinary person. God chooses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Is there any ordinary people in here this morning? Joseph would nod his head and say that I'm just an ordinary person who God asked to do extraordinary things. Flaws and all. Flaws and all. What person in the Bible did God use besides Jesus, who's God in human flesh? Which one of these people in here was perfect? Was there anybody in this Bible that you read and I read that was just perfect? Was Moses perfect? Moses, first five books of the Bible, anyone? Was he perfect? Had a serious anger management problem to the extent that God did not allow him to enter the promised land. King David is a man after God's own heart. Was he perfect? Committed adultery, murder with Uriah the Hittite. Peter in the New Testament denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. Peter, the rock. The rock. He was impulsive. Peter always had a tendency to run with his mouth. Peter, when we read in the scriptures, had this thing called foot and mouth disease. Every time he'd open his mouth, it just came out. And then the Lord would look at him and go, oh, geez. Peter. Peter. Real people, messed up people. See, guys, God specializes in using messed up people because who else does he have to work with? Exhibit A. Exhibit A. Me. Joseph's awesome. He would want you to know God uses people just like him and just like you. God calls you. If God calls you to do something, the answer should be
yes.
Yes. When Jesus says, go be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, the answer should be yes. When Jesus says, follow me today, yes. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Help me, Lord. But my heart's willing. Come, draw near to me, the Bible says. God says, come near to me and I will come near to you. Draw near to the Lord. Do you do that or do you not? You cannot serve God and money. Biggest competitor in your life between God is wealth. Jesus says you cannot serve God and money. Stuff. Jesus prioritizes us. Follow him. He's the rabbi. He's the teacher. What would Joseph tell us? He would say, you guys, if God calls you to follow him, don't even think twice. Say yes. If he wakes you up in the middle of the night and says, run, run. Don't even go to Starbucks. Just go. Right? When God says to do something, do it. Obedience. Faith. Joseph's an amazing man in the pages of the Bible. If God tells you to do something, do it. If God's going to call you to do something, he'll give you the power to do it. Trust him. By the way, God uses ordinary people, just like me, to be used for His glory. And that's why God calls you. And here it is. Joseph would, if he was sitting here today, he would want to ask you a question. Joseph would be told that this young baby that's in Mary, his stepson's mission is to save his people from their sins. Joseph would want to know, have you put your mind around what his son did for you on the cross? Joseph would want to know, have you guys taken the time in your busy lives to really sit down and think about what Jesus did for you on the cross? The prophecies of Isaiah 53, by his stripes you are healed. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastising of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging you are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own ways. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon the Messiah. Have you understood what Jesus did on the cross for you? Jesus, the baby born in Bethlehem's mission is to save you from your sins. How do you get to heaven? You don't work your way up to heaven by being a good person and following certain religious rules in order to get there. God in His love and mercy and grace has worked His way to you through His Son, Jesus. Jesus, as He hangs on the cross, says it is finished. That it's an accounting term. It means paid in full. All your sins washed away. The only way that you get to heaven is through Messiah. He's the one that purchases your way into eternity. Joseph would want you guys to really think this through and contemplate what Jesus' life means to you. For you to come face to face with your own flaws and faults and sins and to say, I need Jesus. Jesus, I accept what you did on that cross for me. As you died, you, the righteous one, paid my debts. And because of you, I am holy and righteous and forgiven, imputed from Jesus to you. He who knew no sin became sin on your behalf, that you become the righteousness of God. Is there anybody in here of the righteousness of God? Raise your hand. Real tall. Is anybody in here the righteousness of God? If so, it's only because of Jesus that you've been made righteous. Do you understand? You don't go to heaven because you're a good person. Good people don't go to heaven. Perfect people go to heaven. Are you perfect? Morally perfect? Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Anybody in here ever lied? Raise your hand. Is there anybody in here who's never lied? Raise your hand. You're a liar. Do you realize that you before the Lord, the Holy One, is in a really bad place outside of Jesus Christ? The Messiah came to die for you. He will save His people from their sins. Do you love Him yet? Jesus hanging on that cross takes away all your sins, all your shame and guilt before the Holy God. And you are wrapped in the robes of righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin on your behalf, that you might become the righteousness of God. It's by faith. It's by faith. You accept, you receive. Joseph would want you to know that Jesus came to die for you. And for all of us here to realize that this baby, this birthday, this Christmas little one grew up to serve you. Because for God so loves the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believeth upon Him will not perish, but have eternity in heaven. The mission of the Messiah. Yeshua saves. God is salvation. Joseph would want you to know, have you guys figured out His kid? Because if you don't do this, you're foolish. To walk through life and never think about the big issues of life, it's just foolish. Joseph would want you to know, if God asks you to do something, do it. If God calls you to do something, he'll give you the power to do it. Joseph would want you all to really enter into what is the mission of this kid of his. And Joseph would tell you, man, the best life that you could live is the one that God has planned for you. In the end, Joseph could say, oh my goodness, when I said yes to God, I got everything I was hoping for. I got an amazing wife. I had my kids. I lived the life and the hopes and the dreams that I had. But by saying yes to Jesus, I got so much more, man. I became the stepdad of the Son of God. I had the privilege to serve him every day by going to work. I got to help that little one walk. I got to teach this little one how to be a carpenter. I taught him my trade. I taught the Son of God how to saw a piece of wood and to hammer a nail into a piece of wood and how to measure a piece of wood. I taught my kid how to cut stone. I had no idea that this was my lot in life. I'm so glad I said yes to Jesus. Amen? Is anybody in here just... Do you realize, man, by saying yes to the Lord, it's such a good life? It's not easy, but it's a good life. If the Lord could speak to you this morning, what would he tell you? Do you know if the Lord was here this morning, and he is, he would tell you that each and every one of you are valuable in his sight. The eyes of the Lord are upon you. That God knows you intimately and by name. The Lord would tell you that he knows every hair that's on your head and has numbered them all. The Lord would tell you that his thoughts toward you are as numerous as the grains of sand upon a beach. Each and every one of you in here is fearfully and wonderfully made of body, soul, and spirit. The Lord would want you to know that he created you in his image. That you are precious in his sight. That God the Father sent his Son into the world because he loves you. He sent Jesus to save you. Do you know how special you are in here? Could you stir that into your soul? If you were the only person on planet Earth, Jesus would come and die for you. He would leave the 99 to save the one. This is who Christ is. This is who our God is. Do you understand? Father, I pray for my brothers and I lift up my sisters to you this morning. Lord God Almighty, Lord, we've left our homes to come to this house, the house of the Lord. And we want to hear from the Spirit of the living God. We pray for the Word of God and the Spirit of God to flow. God, help this preacher to speak clearly this morning. God, may people in this room understand the true and living God. Jesus, you're the one that said, unless one is born again, they will never inherit the kingdom of heaven. The scriptures tell us that our spirits bear witness with the Holy Spirit that we're children of the living God. That you've given us a spirit not of slavery that leads to fear again, but a spirit that we cry out, Abba, Father, our Father who is in heaven, how holy is thy name. You are our dad, our Father in heaven. God, I pray for my brothers and my sisters. May you help us on this journey to meet Jesus and to know who Jesus is. And the courage to follow Christ every day. This I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And all those who love Jesus would say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of what? For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. God's not giving you a spirit of fear. You know, the Bible says that you're to be filled with the Spirit. That is, you live in the Spirit, so walk in the Spirit of God. So, Joseph's son, his name was Jacob, but we call him James, wrote in James chapter 5, instructions to the church, that if there are people within the body of Christ that need prayer, that they should seek out the leaders of the church and let them pray. Let the leaders of the church pray over them. Anoint them with oil and pray for healing, emotional, spiritual, physical. To take concerns and to bring them before the leaders of the church. And we like to do this, and we're going to do this now. In these next two songs, we're going to ask that if you are here today and you just feel like you need a touch of the Lord, you need a touch of the Spirit, maybe there's a fear in your life that you need to deal with. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ and you want to come forward and receive Jesus. Come forward here. Maybe you're here today and you got a bad diagnosis. Maybe a doctor's told you that you're in trouble. Maybe you need to take whatever it is before the throne of God. The Spirit of the Lord is here. So I'm going to ask for the leaders of the church to come forward. And we're going to be here just to pray with you. Hey, come forward. Up in the balcony of Pastor Vince, and we've got Casey. For those of you up there. PJ, would you come up and pray with us, brother? Dr. Wang. Is anybody in here trembling and you just don't know if you're going to make it through another day? Is anybody in here that's just so fighting back the fears? Does anyone just need a touch of the Spirit of God? Let us anoint you with oil and pray over you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Jesus said, wait into Jerusalem until the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. Then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Jesus said the night before he died, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will come upon you. And he will bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. The Spirit of God. Spirit of the Lord, fall fresh upon this place. Spirit of the Lord that dwells within us, help us to walk in your power. As we so live by the Spirit, help us to walk in the power of the Spirit. Could you all just open your hands as a gesture of just being open to God's Spirit falling upon you? For the Lord has not given you a spirit of fear. The Spirit of the living God is power. Love and sound thinking.